The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Sydney Ellen at KROS Clinton and Doug Burns at the Carroll Times-Herald. Sydney, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
I guess one of my main questions is, what would you say to Iowans who are concerned about the current economy?
Well, without a doubt, you're bringing up what comes up most often in my town meetings. I had 17 over the last 2 weeks, and inflation or the cost of living increases. Gas prices, the only thing that comes up almost as often is border security. And I say to them that, number one, the Federal Reserve was about 6 months behind taking the actions that they're now taking, which I would applaud what they're doing now, but about 6 months late getting started. And then on the other end, I would condemn the new Democrat Congress for not taking the advice of three or four outstanding Democrat economists. The most famous of them is Larry Summers, a former Secretary of Treasury in the Clinton administration, when he said just before the president was sworn in, and that's after Congress had already spent several trillion dollars to get us out of the recession that the government started on its own by shutting down the government. He said, you shouldn't spend any more money. And they went ahead and immediately spent $2 trillion feeding the fires of inflation and stuff. So I just tell them that's the cause of it, and we're going to have to work our way through it. But I also give this one final answer. I say about half of the 8 6% in inflation is caused by this administration's energy policies, you know, not building pipelines, not drilling, restricting fracking, and not loaning money to energy companies. If they just reverse that actions that brought a $2 increase in the price of gasoline, it'd be a big factor in getting it down. So those are the answers that I give, Sydney. Now to Doug.
Senator, for years in my career, I've asked what I thought was a fair question of people who are pro-life on abortion, and that is, if your view prevails and abortion is again criminalized, what do you think the penalty should be for a woman who has an abortion, a doctor who performs one, or somebody who's involved in it? As much as anybody, you know, you with your role on the Judiciary Committee, you're responsible for Roe being overturned. There's, you know, discussion of potentially a legislation for a federal ban, and then you're involved at other levels. What do you, because now we're at the penalty stage. Now this is no longer a hypothetical question, Senator. What do you think would be a reasonable penalty for a woman who has an abortion or a doctor who performs?
First of all, I suppose there's a possibility it could be a federal issue, but I don't expect it to be a federal issue because it's turned back to the elected representatives of the states, and I suppose there's 50 different answers for what the states might come up with, but I don't visualize any state putting a mother in prison because she had an abortion, and I think that there would be not even doctors put in jail, but I do think that there would be some penalty for people conducting something that's against the law, but that would be up to the individual states.
To follow up on that, Senator, do you think abortion is murder? And if you do think it's murder, why shouldn't the doctors and the women go to prison?
This whole decision was based on what the historic of our the history of our country during the period of time after the 14th Amendment was adopted, according to what Alito wrote. And I would say that there wasn't anything like that in practice in the United States. If there is, I'm not aware of it.
One of the main concerns, I'm personally a mother of a 9-year-old, and what do you think can realistically be done to end gun violence, especially in schools? It seems like it has surged up over the last handful of years. And, I mean, it seems anymore like you can't go to the grocery store, you're not safe in schools. I mean, what can really be done there?
Well, I think everybody ought to be satisfied that you send your kids to school, that it ought to be the safest place for them, particularly when they have adult supervision. So these sad things that have happened over the past, you know, I suppose you can go back to Parkland, or you can go back to I forget the name of the school in Connecticut. That's almost 8 years ago. You can for sure say how sad those situations are, and they shouldn't have happened. So let me get to answering your question this way. And this is kind of an ambivalent answer, because part of the bill I supported, and part of the bill is the answer to your question. And then maybe you'd also support the other part of the bill that deals with guns. That was the reason I voted against it, because I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment, and I believe if you got constitutional rights, there should be due process before those constitutional rights are taken away, and I don't think there was adequate due process in this legislation. But the other two provisions of the bill is to make sure that we have safe schools, and there's provisions in this legislation to make sure that we have safe schools, and I suppose I would recommend that it come out this way. Like I find visiting a lot of high schools in Iowa, maybe visit about a dozen every year to talk to the kids. And a lot of times we go, even in rural America, we go and the school doors are locked. And the other one is to beef up the mental health issues. And then along the lines of helping with mental health, although this is a big step in not only helping mental health for kids, but it's going to help the mental health deficiencies we have throughout the country. It puts a lot of effort into that. But I also got my Eagles Act that come as a result of the Parkland shooting 2018 in Florida, where I'm going to take a program that the Secret Service has, identifying and training people to recognize and get help and for people that are a worry or a harm to themselves or a harm to other people. We want school personnel to be involved in that. Back to Doug.
Senator, a recent poll that the New York Times had today shows that 64% of Democrats don't want President Biden to run again. How much of a drag do you think Biden will be on Democrats here in 2022? Does this give you a big advantage as well as other Democrats, because the president's ratings are just terrifically low, even within his own party?
Yeah. Some people would say there's something about the physical nature of Biden himself, but I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the bad policies of this administration that is the drag. Inflation, gas prices, border security, those sorts of things. I think that's what's going to drag them down, and that's what I'm hearing from my constituents, and that's what's irritating even Democrats.
By physical nature, do you mean his age? Do you think he's, like, too infirm to do the job? Or what?
Well, you know, I've only been with Biden once since he's been in the Oval Office and saw him personally, and I don't see those things, but I know that there's a lot of TV talk about it. So if I'm going to listen to other people, there may be a problem there, but I don't see that as the reason why people are going to be voting voting against Democrats this fall, and maybe giving us a Republican majority in the House for sure, and then maybe even in the Senate. Let's go to Sydney.
What is your stance on the insurrection coverage? Do you think it's something that they are continuing to milk to keep President Trump in the limelight, or do you think it actually has a basis to continue to be investigated?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me comment on something. There's a few calls coming to my office urging me to sit around and watch TV all the time. And I just wonder if people that are saying that realize that we just don't sit around and watch TV in the United States Senate. I've got a schedule And I won't go over that schedule with you, but we book ourselves pretty tight for about 8 to 10 hours a day. And that's what we do. So and then you got to remember also we got a staff that follows these investigations quite well. So I'm just going to speak about one thing that I think is very much a weakness of the committee. Not saying that they aren't bringing out some things that maybe we didn't know or all that stuff, because I sent some things that I at least more detail, but even a few things that I didn't know about. But here's where their weakest point is. First of all, it's the first committee in the history of the House of Representatives that Republicans haven't appointed the members of. And secondly, then, since Republicans don't have the members that the leader of the Republican Party in the House wanted on, they haven't had the usual cross-examination you have to have when all the two or three Republicans plus all the Democrats are all speaking the same line. Without cross-examination, you don't have all the information you should have. Doug?
Senator, I've known you and the kind of values you have for a long time, and they just don't seem to jive with former President Trump. I know you respect some of his policies and obviously the judicial appointments, but would it be better for the country, for the party, for the country, for Iowa, if he stayed out of this presidential race?
Well, I'm not one to dictate to the Democrats, but if he runs for re-election, to be sure getting a Republican put in, so it's just simply up to the voters.
Yeah. So if Trump runs, he wins, in your opinion?
Well, no, this is up to the voters. I don't know at this point how you could have any idea looking ahead 3 years. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sydney and Doug, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.